Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
So remember there's Finding Waldo, right? Where you look at a picture with a lot of visual complexity and then you try to find this one character, Waldo. And then there is Finding Jesus, and for me, he was hiding behind the sofa. But what about finding God? Where are we going to find God? Any ideas? I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight's show. We're going to have a good time. This is going to be fun. The topic tonight is healing through the Akashic Records. And our guest tonight is Erica Gulizada. We're going to bring Erica on in just a minute. But could the Akashic Records be a pathway to finding God? Now, time out. The Akashic Records is about our past. What the hell does our past have to do with moving forward? Right? Akashic Records and finding God. How's that work? You know, for myself, I think it was, I did the math just the other day, and it's long, farther back than I had remembered. I think it was like 12 years ago or so. I've shared on the show many times, when my soul kind of grabbed me by the back of the neck and took me up into the light. My soul just, I don't know how to explain it, except I went up and up and up and up and up, and pretty soon there was nothing but light. There was just nothing but light. And I've thought about that journey many times. And I think my soul chose to do that to me, for me, so I could look at perhaps the journey of the soul, or the journey of, I cringe when I use the word salvation, our journey, or perhaps we could say our return to God, a return to source. What does the Akashic Records have to do with the return to our divinity, the return to our Christ consciousness? The Akashic Records, I suggest you could look at it as a history of your fragmentation. What does that mean? History of your fragmentation. When we separate from our divinity, it's typically not a single event. It's spread out over the pathway or the journey of our soul. And what is the pathway or journey of our soul up to this moment? That's the Akashic Records. Our Akashic Records is, I suggest, an energetic reconstitution of our divinity. And like I said, we're going to get into it tonight, and it's going to be fun. I need a disclaimer here because Erica, our guest tonight, is is really a unique guest. I mean, over the years, and even I've had radio shows before this one, and but Erica actually knows me, and I know Erica. We met through a spiritual group here locally in Denver, Colorado, in the United States, maybe about a year ago. So she's met me 8 or 10 times, and so she knows me. And before this show, we traded sessions with each other. She works with the Akashic Records. And I've shared on the show that in the last 2 months last year, I went through the ringer, and I had a session with Erica, and she helped me put the pieces together, so to speak, as to the why of it, the why of the teacher in this lifetime is such a brutally thorough soul teacher. And then just this last Sunday, just a few days ago, for the first time in years, I started doing sessions again, and I've only done one session, and that was with Erica Sunday, this last Sunday. And we're going to chat about that a little bit before we delve into the Akashic Records. So I think it, and I wanted to give a shout out again to the listeners in India. Again, we're seeing an uptick in listeners from India, and I want to say I appreciate you. Namaste. What a journey this has been. So thank you for that. All right, let's get into it. Erica helps her clients get to the root of their challenges, by accessing their Akashic Records, and moves them through a profound soul-evolving process, which is a holistic way of healing. By unfolding the decisions that we've made, oftentimes long ago, we now have the opportunity to make new life-enhancing decisions to change our present situation and habitual responses. By gathering all of the pieces to the puzzle from various lifetimes, which would be the reconstitution of your soul, and learn our lessons that we've chosen to do based on our contracts, we raise our awareness and consciousness. It sounds like moving towards God, doesn't it? Which is necessary steps to evolving and healing ourselves and sometimes others. Our soul knows what we need to resolve, especially with loved ones, and learn from our experience in order to be free and live more fulfilling lives. Erica has been doing her own past life regression work throughout her life, which has been a natural gift along with being a medium and intuitive. She is also a hypnotherapist and a Reiki practitioner, which are great tools that she uses to guide her clients through a divine-driven healing process. Another method that is harmonious with the process of self-transformation sometimes includes inner child work that can lead to profound healing. In her present school of life, Erica has overcome many cultural oppression issues as well as addictions and health challenges, and has helped others to do the same. By having the courage to face the truth and allowing yourself to feel vulnerable, Erica can serve as your guide to your self-realization journey where profound changes can begin. You can learn more about Erica at healingwish.net. join me in welcoming Erica to the show. Erica, we finally have you on the show.
I'm so excited to be here, Les. Thank you so much for having me.
No kidding. It's delightful to have. It's delightful to finally get you on the show.
I know. I feel like I've been waiting for ages.
Well, before we delve into the Akashic side of things, you're the only person on the planet that has had a session from me since I went into the cave, so to speak. I went into the cave and got lost in the wilderness, and now it's time for me to put myself back out into the world in the form of service from my soul. For the listeners of the show, can you just can you share what that session I gave you Sunday was like?
Oh my goodness, it's going to be really hard to put into words. First of all, I feel very honored to have had a session with you. I feel like it was definitely a life-changing experience for me. Because you've been there yourself in terms of being able to reach that level of Christ consciousness, is how you were able to help me, guide me through that process. It was such a profound experience where as you were playing the drums and as yes. you were tapping with every tap, I felt like my consciousness was raising and going higher and higher and higher. Like one realm to the next, to the point where I felt like there was an earthquake going on inside of me. And there was so much movement and shifting going on, like as if all these layers were being lifted off of me. And I was getting lighter and lighter and lighter. Now, while the earthquake was going, I mean, I was like literally shaking and crying and my breathing completely changed. I don't even know what it was like, but I was trying not to pass out. until finally I reached this level where there was nothing there. It was a non-local space. Nothing, no one, nothing. What I connected with was my authentic self, was my Christ consciousness, my true essence. And it was in the place of like nothingness, where nothing was there's no movement, just light. I was able to connect to pure light. So I mean, for all the listeners out there, you do not need to do drugs to have this kind of experience. It's mind-blowing. And because Les's consciousness and vibration is so high and his heart is so wide open and he's so connected to Source, is how he was able to guide me through the process of reaching that same level of consciousness, which was so profound, honestly. And then even after we were done and you're trying to check in with me to see how I'm doing, I was like, I don't know. I don't even know what I am right now. I felt like I had one foot here on Earth and one foot way above. And this went on for the rest of the evening. I didn't come back until, I don't know, maybe the next day or two. I mean, I was like, ooh, wow-wee. Yeah, so it's really hard to put into words because it's one of those things that I feel like you have to experience to know. Kind of like love? You know, how do you explain what love is to somebody without having that experience, right? So it's a very profound, soul-evolving expansion of light and very blissful and then just really tapping into your true essence of who you are, you know, of how it begun, of your purpose, but without any thoughts, without any images.
And I think it only took like 15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, you told me it took 15 minutes. So here you are laughing. You know, you're just like, I laugh a lot when I experience this. And then here I am crying. So we made quite the team. Yeah, the laughter and the crying, but it was just so intense. We both had to kind of experience it in our own ways. And it does change you. I mean, I do not feel like the same person. And the inner peace that I have now is different. I definitely feel like a different person. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for the difference that not only that you made in my life, but also the difference that you're making in the world. Because I think that, you know, you are always interviewing people. The focus is always on, you know, other people. But I do want the listeners to know that you truly are a gift from God. I mean, you are living your life with purpose. You are following your divine guidance. You do have a very open, compassionate, loving heart, and it shows in the work that you do. So you're genuinely an honorable man doing God's work with passion. So I really commend you for that, and thank you for that.
Well, very nice words. Thank you for sharing. It's that was quite an afternoon, I think, for both of us. So.
I was definitely in another dimension. Thank you. I will never forget that. And you kept telling me, what was that? You said something about, you know, remember this or take a snapshot. Yeah. So that way I can keep tapping back into that that level of consciousness and you know, reaching that, yeah, that energetic field.
That non-local space where you went, that's what spiritual seekers are trying to find. That's the stuff. That's the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the real deal. The real deal. It was amazing, and I'm so glad that you've decided to share your gift, and that and so now everybody knows. So here you are, the next show you're going to be helping thousands of people.
and everybody's going to have their own unique experience. It's not like I have I can get you to the front door, but whether you can step through the door or not, that's on you. But anyway, well,
I think that's a very important point, because somebody really, it depends on where they're at is how far they're going to go, really. And,
sure.
And that's with my work too, you know, I kind of meet people where they're at, and so it's not up to me, you know, what their experience is going to be like. I just guide them through the process, kind of like you did with me.
Right. Well, that's a good segue to start talking about the Akashic Records. You know, you talk about all that energy you went through. I would suggest to you that energy was put in place, so to speak, from Akashic events from your past. And so what makes the work that you do so powerful, Erica, is that we can have really profound karmic stigmas operating in our life that we're not consciously aware of. In other words, we might have a beautiful, beautiful teacher that is a real a-hole in our life that just gets on our nerves and gets on our nerves and gets on our nerves. And to our ego, we can think that it's a fluke and it's not related to our spiritual growth. But can you share with us the how you experience? So you're working on a client, and when you tap into their Akashic fields, share with our audience how you experience that.
That's an excellent question. And by the way, you know, as far as difficult people in our life, yeah, they are our greatest teachers. And oftentimes those are the people that we've had numerous lifetimes with. There's a reason why we come in contact with people that we have a lot of challenges with. And there's definitely a lot of growth, healing, and potentially karma clearing opportunity. So that's there's definitely a purpose behind that for sure. Now, what was your question again?
Well, when you're working on a client and you're tapping into their Akashic fields, how do you experience that?
So the first thing that happens for me normally is that I feel things. So I'm clairsentient. So basically I get goosebumps oftentimes, or I feel discomfort in different areas of my body. And so when I bring my attention to the sensations of what I'm feeling where, then what happens is I begin to see images. So following that, I get images on what that pertains to. So I feel what's going on inside of my clients. So when I tap into their energy, first and foremost, I always start coughing. That's always like my way of tuning in. So my clients always know that, oh, she's coughing. That means she's tuning in. Okay, she's with me now. It sounds really awkward. I don't know anybody else that does that, but I do that. Anyway, and I always tell people, don't be alarmed. Don't call 911. It's a good thing. I'm actually tuning in. I'm going to get messages because I'm coughing. So I feel blockages. Then I feel sensations of what's inside of them. And then when I feel the sensations, I tune in, and that's when I get images. And oftentimes the images can be past life related even, or I get, hits on who it may pertain to, or ask them questions regarding, you know, whatever, their father or this, that, the other. And then oftentimes what happens is I connect with parallel lives. So the challenges that they're having in their current life, and based on their intention for the session, then I begin to get pieces to the puzzle of their past and the root of their problems. 99% of the time, it's not this life. So it really limits me when somebody comes to me and tells me, don't tell me about my past lives. That's when it's like they shut the door in my face and my guidance, because it's not really me. It's the divine that works through me. And they really limit their own healing, you know. So I'm like, okay, I respect that. Sorry, I can't help you. You know, I don't say that, but, you know, that's in effect what happens is they're very limited that way. But So then I tell them, oftentimes it's like a piece by piece, but you know how a movie, you have to start from the beginning and, okay, what happens next, and then who else is involved? And oftentimes there's people that are involved from their current life that they were associated in the past. So then we connect those dots. Get to the root, because when we only focus on this life, we're missing pieces. And that's why people keep having reoccurring patterns and problems with oftentimes the same people. So when we get to the root, then we're able to have a higher understanding. Without knowing everything that's there, we don't know what all of the decisions that we've made and what needs healing and what the healing process is going to look like. So part of the evolving process is really knowing, raising your awareness and consciousness, and as a result of doing that, then I'm able to help my clients understand that the decisions that they've made, oftentimes lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, same old patterns, same old problems reoccurring, until they finally change what happened, clear that karma, make new life-enhancing decisions so they can change their life today.
Very well said. To clear their karma. And from my perspective, when you say that, there's always an energetic component to it, so to speak. It's like there has to be a release out of your psyche, the dogma, the stigma, the karma is, from my perspective, is our own consciousness from our past that gets formed into a standing wave or a momentum or a perpetual feeling over time. And as we accumulate that, as we incarnate over and over and over again, we load our psyche up. And so the way back, so to speak, to source is just what you're talking about, is going to those episodes in our past where we got hung up and we accumulated an emotional posturing, so to speak. It seems like emotions are intertwined with our Akashic events. So when do you notice with your clients that, 'cause for me, I've been really trying to understand my family dynamics, both in my immediate family and my folks, and to understand the prominent karmic lessons, so to speak. If I look at the people I've had the biggest difficulty with, as far as my ego's perspective, if I look at what they bring to my life, I see it as a very profound thing. Like on the show, I've shared many times, the boss that cracked me open was, he was a jerk. He was malicious. He was a conniving SOB, but he was my angel. So I go into work every day for a decade, and that little prick, it just get under my skin and agitate my anger. He would agitate my karma. And so for a decade, it's like that dodo bird that just keeps going poke, poke, poke. And it put me on the couch, and that's where I cracked open. So those tough people in our life are perhaps the biggest gift. Do you see that from working on your clients, that a lot of times the people that they struggle with is actually a very close soul contract?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is so common. I see it all the time. Yep. The most challenging people in our lives are our biggest teachers and offer the most amount of opportunity for healing and growth. There's definitely a higher purpose as to why we come in contact, and, you know, it's part of our contract and also what we're supposed to accomplish in order to move forward more peacefully in our journeys. For sure.
Do you ever have clients that are the scoundrel, the villain, the bad guy in the scene? I'm just thinking, you know, there's people that play the villain or the agitator, and then there are the people that are agitated. Do you ever get the sense that you're working on one of the agitators or villains or teachers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I work with everything. from people from all walks of life, anything you can imagine, absolutely. And also note that we've been on both sides of the fence. You know, I mean, we've been everything in our lives. The older of a soul you are, the more you've been, you know, the abuse becomes the abuser, and we've been rich, we've been poor, we've been men, we've been women, we've been everything. And yeah, and also connected to a lot of the people that we have in our lives today, we've been connected to in the past, and there's a reason why, you know, you've reunited and you have work to do and that sort of thing. So it's yeah, absolutely. It's also a beautiful, you know, process of transformation to watch when, especially my devoted clients, not the ones that, oh, they follow one teaching one day, another teaching the next day, they're all over the place. No, the ones that are really devoted to their healing and growth that have been, you know, my clients on and off for a while, whenever needed, you know, those are the ones that I love. I love watching them transform. I love seeing them going from potentially a dark place to light, and then getting to a place where, oh, every once in a while they'll need a session, you know, and because they're doing so well, you know. So yeah, so most often people are not in the best place when they come to me, you know, and they're having serious challenges in their life, and the challenges can be in relationships, it could be with addictions, it could be physical illnesses, mental, you know, depression, anxiety, you name it, or they can have some really bad habits that they want to break away from. And so yeah, I mean, it's rewarding. I really commend people that actually want to do this work, because it seriously takes courage. It takes a lot of courage, because you are going into this unknown territory. You have to allow yourself to feel vulnerable. You have to be open and willing to do the work and move through the emotions. And that's what people avoid the most. And that's why there's all these addictions and people do this and that, anything to avoid emotions. So oftentimes when people come to me, it's because they are really, you know, they're really hurting. They have more pain than pleasure in their life, and they're ready to change. So, and I really commend them for doing that. And I also understand that a lot of people may not be ready for this work, you know, because all the components may not be in place. The timing may not be right for them. And I completely respect that, because it's got to happen on your time, not my time. And when somebody's ready, I wait for them to come to me. I don't chase after anybody, because this is really hard core work. This is soul evolving work. So it's going to require a lot of energy, devotion, you know, focus and courage to do this work.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you mentioned quite a few things as far as ailments, so to speak. For example, depression. I mean, imagine being being parents. It's not always apparent when you're a parent, but
yeah,
and your teenager has these bouts of depression, and you put it on your shoulders because you're their parents. It's like, do we suck as parents? Why is our kid struggling so much? And in actuality, the depression was part of their psyche before they even chose to incarnate. And what I like about this episode with you, Erica, is for people to get a glimpse into how the Akashic records can create stigmas in our life. And a lot of times we, if we haven't been on our spiritual path, we try to solve our lives based on this lifetime, this incarnation, whereas a lot of times the struggles that we're having in this lifetime, this incarnation, are not from this lifetime, this incarnation. And so having you on the show, I really appreciate how you've been over the years looking at the Akashic karmic tendencies of your client, and you bring a deeper understanding to the karmic mechanics, so to speak, that a soul can have lifetime to lifetime, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's... Yeah, there's. I also wanted to mention in terms of the karma and the people that we have, the challenges that we have in our lives, and what you mentioned as far as, like, you know, you could be born depressed, you know, with
right.
certain you know, feelings and ways of being, and which may be totally different than your sibling, for example. Each person in your family may be completely different from one another because we've all had different pasts, even though we might potentially have the same parents. And so there is also, like, ancestral, you know, trauma and healing that needs to take place. And it could be generational. And I've also seen sometimes people are reincarnated in the same like with the same ancestors. So again, to do their work. And then what's really profound is when one person starts doing the work, they're actually not just doing it for themselves. They're also doing it for everyone connected. So they're just kind of breaking the chain all the way down to their ancestors. And whatever it is, for example, like I've done some work around oppression and, you know, my background and whatnot, that type of thing. And so it wasn't just for me. And then not only did it go back to my ancestors, but even cultural, you know, even like where I come from, even that part of the world being very oppressed, you know, So in the Middle East, that is. So there is, when we do this work, we also may start to notice some shifts in other people, like especially our loved ones, the people that are closest to us. And sometimes what happens is when you're doing ancestral work, sometimes all of these souls just start to kind of join in, and then it becomes like this multidimensional work that we do. So it's like gathering all the souls that are connected to the same challenges. And it also goes beyond that too, like all the souls, not just ancestors. It starts with us, our ancestors, and then boom, 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 all over the place. Joining hands, joining together in order to have this breakthrough and raise our consciousness. And I've literally seen this where when these souls join together, it's almost like they're all coming together, gathering, gathering, but there's a lot of darkness, a lot of darkness. And as I'm moving my client through the new decision-making process, of whatever that is necessary that these souls need in order to move forward without the previous restraints and pain and suffering and old ways of being that was very disempowering, then what happens is more and more light begin to expand in that multidimensional plane. And until I normally know when the job is complete, when I see nothing but light. It's like, so going from dark and then all these joys, souls joining in, and then it goes to light. And by the time we're done, my clients oftentimes feel like light. It's like, and then when I ask them to get up and start walking, they're like, whoa. I mean, and I can feel what they feel like. I'm just like, oh my God, do you even have a body right now? You know?
Right.
Light as a feather, you know, because their conscious, everything shifts, you know, your entire being shifts. And when you do that, it's amazing how oftentimes when we have these physical challenges, they begin to dissipate. You know, they go away. They go away because you've done the work. Our emotions are what causes our physical challenges. So when we get to the root of the emotions, then we can also have the power to heal our bodies. I mean, I can't guarantee that for everyone because everybody's at a different place. You also have to want it, because I've also dealt with clients that didn't want it. You know what I mean? It's like to give you an example, like I have to give you this example of this one client, young lady. She was gifted a session by another client. I was kind of surprised because the other client knows me well. But then this young lady who's in the East Coast called me for a session. I scheduled her. She's super young, and she had a freak accident, not able to walk in a wheelchair. Well, my guidance told me to tell her specifically what the karma is related to, what lifetime, the work that she needs to do. And I told her the work she needs to do, and if she does another session or two, I am here to tell you, it's not me, it's my guidance telling me to tell her that she can walk again. And you know what? She ran. She ran. I never heard from her again. Why? Because not everybody wants to heal. Because she was benefiting from being a victim. She wanted everybody to feel sorry for her and take care of her. She loved all the attention she was getting. She was like, oh, no, I'm not having it. So even when I followed up with her to see how she's doing and just kind of reminded her of her life lessons and karma and why she's here and what she can do to heal herself, never heard from her again. So I get that too, and I respect that everybody's in a different place. But when somebody is like wide open and willing and allows me to really my guidance, I should say, it's not me. I just open myself up to my divine guidance to work through me as I move them through the healing process. Whatever that healing process is going to be, with every single person is different. For instance, sometimes like some loved ones that are deceased may come in, or maybe some of the souls that are from people that are not even deceased, that their loved ones may come in to support them through the healing process. And I let them know, hey, by the way, your mom is here right now and your dad is here or whoever, and they're holding your hand, they're moving you through the healing process. And I see them breaking down and crying. They're like, oh, wow, I feel it, and, you know, that type of thing. So that's a very profound part of the healing process too, when there's other souls that come in that's beneficial for my client's healing at the time.
Well, you made an interesting point, and I don't want to skip over it. You had talked about cultural karmic healing. Now, can you share with our audience? It was, I believe, the Middle East where you were born, and you said something in there that when you start doing the healing work, there's generational opportunities for your ancestors to participate and also heal as you heal. But you also said that others can participate in that healing process. And the reason I want to touch on this is obviously the last couple of years have been a bit of a karmic tsunami, and that to heal our cultural stigmas is I think something that's probably much more prominent in this lifetime for so many of us. At whatever level you're comfortable, can you give us some insight about your cultural upbringing?
Sure. So I was born in Iran. And so when I was a child, I moved here when I was like 7 years old. So I've been here since like first grade. But when I was back in Iran, I remembered girls had it really hard. Like, I would get beaten up by boys, and it was acceptable. The girls were supposed to allow that. And I remember one time my aunt told me, next time this boy beats you up, you pull his hair, you hit him back. And so I was like, oh, yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, you do that. I was like, okay. So I pulled his hair and I beat him up and he started screaming and crying. And let me tell you, his mom came and really gave it to me. She was like, how dare you? You never put a hand on a boy ever again. And I got a beating out of her. So it was like, it's unacceptable. So the boys ruled, you know, it's whatever they wanted to do, and the girls had to put up with it. So I learned that at a very young age. Like, I wasn't allowed to even speak up. So sometimes when I did address things and say things and or go to my mom and say, hey, this kid did this to me or whatever, it was like I would be frowned upon. It's like I would be beaten. I would be told to shut up, to shut my mouth, and I'm not allowed to talk that nonsense, you know. So it was really rough. So, I mean, I literally used to, like, cry myself to sleep at nights and everything. I didn't have any sort of a support system. And the women and the other girls that I knew, they were all oppressed and suffering in their own ways too. So it's not like they even had the power to be able to help me. And, you know, and then later on in life, when I was like a teenager, that's when my parents tried to, like, push arranged marriage, and I had more proposals than I knew what to do with. In my teens and 20s, it was just like, you know, I was like, this is ridiculous. I don't even know how these people, I don't even know who they are. No, I have no interest in them. And, you know, kind of being pushed on, you're supposed to get married and you're supposed to have kids and this is what you're supposed to do and stay home and be a good wife and all this sort of stuff. Well, I rebelled. I rebelled and I did not do anything that I was trying to be forced to do. And so I figured, you know, if I ever meet the right person, if I'm 100%, yeah, maybe. But until then, no way. I'm not just going to do it just because my culture tells me that this is what you're supposed to do, go on autopilot and do what you're, you know, what you're told. So I listened to my heart. I listened to my guidance. And so for the longest time, even my parents were not happy with me. Until later on in life, they're like, wow, you know, you were really smart. You're really smart not to do that. But during that process, for years and years and years, I was working on myself. I was healing myself. And while I was healing myself, I was helping other people heal too. And I can't tell you the amount of women and children that I've helped, men too. But as far as, like, being oppressed, being beaten down and not having any voice and not having any rights and being able to stand up for themselves. And a lot of them, for example, got divorces. A lot of them started having a healthy career. A lot of them became successful single parents or remarried with somebody that was, you know, a great person. So I've seen that happen a lot. So that's kind of, to give you an idea, because of my growth and the strength that I got and the courage of rebelling against the culture, going against that, and then also doing my spiritual work ongoing, inner work, not just, you know, the outside, but the inner work, healing myself and then, you know, and my meditations helping the other souls, and as well as, you know, helping my clients too. So it's very rewarding.
Well, and it's not always easy, but that's a very powerful narrative that you've shared. And I think, I mean, it's pretty easy to see that there's a gigantic tug of war over the collective narrative. I've worked in the television media industry for more than four decades. And they really want to tell us what to do and how to think and how to behave and what's important and all that crap. And it just sounded very similar to you in that, you know, you're not to touch a boy. They can beat the crap out of you, but don't touch them. And really, that kind of a cultural stigma in every single country on the planet is being brought to light now, is being brought into our conscious space. And so we're really at a prime opportunity for us to look at our own cultural stigmas and look at what does not serve us, both masculine and feminine, and also what doesn't serve us as a human culture. If we're going to land heaven on earth here, it's going to be from resolving all the crap from our past, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have to resolve it from our past, and that's why we keep reincarnating, and we're choosing to come back here because we have unfinished business. And the ultimate place to be is really taking responsibility. I mean, I've been working my tail off since I was a child. I've never had it easy. This has been a really difficult life. You know, some people think, they look at me, they're like, oh, you have it easy. You know, but for me, it's been so rough. And I'm like, oh, only if you knew. You know, it's not easy doing this kind of work, because you feel what other people feel. You feel the suffering, you know, of others. And I have to constantly work on cleansing and clearing my energy and everything. And especially, like, even as a child, you know, I used to be able to feel things and see things and see through people and their intentions and what they were doing and or the pain and suffering that they were going through. And it was really, really hard on me. And I remember I used to cry and cry and cry. And one time I told my brother, I said, you know, why are these kids, suffering, and why is this happening in this world, and this isn't fair. And you know, my brother, he's so wise, he told me, and this is when I was a child, he said, Erica, he goes, that's their karma. You know, you cannot interfere with their karma. You know, you have to allow people to live their lives, make their own choices, and to work through their own karmas. And I was like, oh, karma, okay. It's because of the past that they're here? Yeah. So he kind of explained that to me where it made sense. But it still hurt me. So I remember I used to go and I used to ditch school when I was in elementary. I used to go to church and cry for hours and talk to Jesus. Jesus has always been my guide for as long as I can remember in this life. Since I was a child, I was not even born Christian. I was born Muslim, but that's just something that, you know, I did on my own. And so, and then I would pray for people, and then they would like receive healing. But I would also be zombied out. It would take everything out of me. Like I would have no energy for me. And so finally my gifts got to the point where they were so out of control that I didn't know what to do with it. It was too much. Like, I would tell people what was going to happen, and then it would happen. And then they started calling me a witch. So I had this reputation when I was a kid in school as a witch. Erica's a witch. Stay away from her, you know.
Right.
She's different. You know, scary stuff. And so
The idea of a witch, the archetype of a witch, the healthy archetype of a witch is a person coming into their own, the power of their own divinity. And, you know, isn't it odd that Jesus said, you'll do everything I will do and more. So let's see, Jesus healed people. And then, you know, this is back in the more prominent witch era. As soon as people started healing people, the flipping church called the people that were following Jesus's teachings, you will do everything I will do, the church points a finger at them and calls them a witch, like it's some kind of a derogatory thing, but they're actually moving forward with Jesus's teachings, giving themselves permission to be the vehicle of healing, and the flipping church takes them to the town center and lights them up. It's like, the only reason I jump in with that is because I want to heal the people's relationship with the term witch, because so often it's portrayed in a negative context, but I digress. Well, time can go by pretty fast, Erica. Blink I want to make sure that you share your modality with the audience. Share your web page if you do remote work through Zoom or anything like that. Take all the time you need and explain to our audience the work you do and how they can contact you.
Sure. So I know you have, audience from all over the world. I am in Colorado. So for some of my local clients, they are able to come to the office if they want, if they need to have that in-person session. So I do offer that. I also do remote sessions all over, everywhere. I could do phone sessions, FaceTime, Zoom, Google Meet, whatever that my clients prefer. Some people need to be able to see, and that's fine. I respect that. But I do not need to see anybody. I can still fully, entirely connect to them, no matter what part of the world they are, even if it's just a phone call. So I can tune into their energy and move them through the healing process through divine guidance, of course. And then they're welcome to go on my website, which is healingwish.net. And they're under the services/pricing page. I have all of my specials. And recently I did add a new special because I have a number of clients that have, I go to their homes to do their home clearing. So I smudge their house. And I also, when I do that process, by the way, sometimes I use Palo Santo, sometimes I use Sage. And when I do that, I am able to see if there's any spirits there. And I've helped a lot of spirits like transition and leave my clients alone. They were kind of stuck. And so I've done that. So I do home clearing energy as far as home sessions. I've done home sessions with people that are handicapped, not able to come in person, and so on. So, but anyway, from energy clearing home sessions to office sessions to remote sessions, and all of my specials and packages and regular pricings are on my website again at healingwish.net.
Very nice. Well, Erica, this has been a very powerful episode. I really like how you've shared with us your insights into how our own Akashic records are very much influential in our everyday experience. I want to thank you for being our guest tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. I have enjoyed it very much. This was a great gift for me, and I feel honored to have been on your show, and I wish you continual success in all that you do, and I hope that you share your gifts with more and more people. If more and more people can have the experience that I had, we would all be in heaven together.
Very nice. We've been talking with Erica Golizoda, and the topic tonight has been healing through the Akashic records. I want to thank Erica again for being our guest. What a nice conversation. When she said it takes some courage, some intent to really do the deeper work, to really do the shadow work, so to speak. From my perspective, that's the pay dirt. It's like, I don't know, maybe we get galvanized to pain. We get galvanized to discomfort. We get galvanized to feelings that we don't like to feel, and we avoid them, and our life doesn't change that much. And we long for a new dynamic. It does take perhaps healing your relationship with pain, healing your relationship with grief, healing your relationship with your past to empower yourself to do the deeper work, to heal the deeper aspects of our psyche. And when you do show up for yourself and you do the work, it changes the rest of your life. I'm very thankful for Erica for sharing with the audience her her experience of me, I guess. So often, I wanted people to understand that I'm as sincere as I know how to be, and I'm here with a compassionate heart for humanity. And so I just appreciate her sharing her insights towards that. What a fun episode. How delightful. I want to thank you, the listener. You, the listener, because this is why we do it. This is why we do it, to help you recognize your own divinity. Always a pleasure.
You've been listening to a New Human Living broadcast. I'm your host, Les Jensen. Let me ask you a question. How many times during today, this day, has your heart and soul had direct communication with you? Our egos, left unchecked, will easily consume all of our thoughts and consciousness as we go throughout the day, where we really are living an ego-led life. But our ego cannot even comprehend the vision our soul has for us. If you want to increase your personal power, make space throughout your day for your heart and soul to inspire you. Citizen King, The New Age of Power is a book I wrote just for that. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. I appreciate it. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Cosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
'Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's BARTESIAN.com/cocktail.